Hi, this is Pastor Mike Gordon, and welcome to Bethel Brandon Sunday Message. For more information about this podcast and more resources, visit us at bethelbrandon.ca.
It is Mother's Day, so I'm going to try and get you out as soon as I possibly can so you can spend time with your family and have a great opportunity to minister. Hey, next week is the May long weekend, but I got an important message. It's called The Dilemma. And so even if you can't be here, make sure that you catch it on podcast. We have podcasts on the website. And it's basically about the dilemma that most churches, not just our church, is facing, but most churches face. And what we are going to do about it. And how do we deal with the dilemma? So you can guess what the dilemma is until next week. I'm not telling you. You got to come next week in order to figure it out, okay? Anyways, you may not realize this, but the busiest day of the year for florists is Mother's Day. It beats Valentine's Day, hands down. It is also the busiest day for Hallmark cards as well. It was also the most busy day for Bell Canada when you actually had a phone that was on the wall and you had to make long-distance calls. It was the busiest day for that. Why? Because everyone realizes their importance. And I've come to realize that Mother's Day and Father's Day can be among the most important messages that I speak during the year. So it is my hope today to somehow encourage you, mothers who are here, and to encourage us as children to honor our mothers because of their work, their sacrifice, their love for us. And, you know, since day one, they have been many times the first one that you have gone through in strenuous times. I remember a story of a mother tucking her child into bed, and it was a thunderstorm, and it was just thundering really loud, and the child was frightened. She said, "Mom, can you sleep beside me tonight?" She says, "Oh, that's okay. I've got to go sleep with your daddy tonight." And so as she walks out, she hears the child say, "The big sissy." Welcome to you, grandmothers. I noticed there was a lot of grandmothers because when it came time to put the things in for the ballots in for the prize, a number of those grandmothers said, "Well, I have like 16 grandchildren. Can I put 16 ballots in?" So we want to honor you. We want to honor you. And the whole role of grandmotherhood, it seems to have changed over the years. I came across this poem. It says this: "In the dim and distant past, when life's tempo wasn't fast, Grandma used to rock and knit, crochet, tat, and babysit. When the kids were in a jam, they could always count on Gram. In the age of gracious living, Grandma was the gal for giving. Grandma now was in the gym, exercising to keep slim. She's off touring with a bunch, taking clients out to lunch, driving north to ski or curl. All her days are in a whirl. Nothing seems to stop or block her now that Grandma's off her rocker." Hopefully you have a wonderful day planned for your mothers. I know for today I have a wonderful day planned with my wife. I'm going to allow her to watch the Bruins play the Carolina Hurricanes at 2 o'clock. We're going to warm up the leftovers. It's going to be a wonderful day, folks. Actually, seriously, a number of years ago, they did a survey. This is what it revealed. They surveyed married women ages 25 to 50 with two children or more. And they said, "How often do you have a date night?" "Once a week or more, 4%. "Once a month or more, 21%. "Once every 2 to 3 months, 21%. "Once every 4 to 6 months, 18%. "And one or maybe two times a year, 36%. So it is a time. This is a special time. There's a scripture in John chapter 19, verse 25. And I believe John talks about this because it was an important time for him. But Jesus says in John chapter 19, verse 25, says, "Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus saw his mother there, and the disciple whom he loved standing by, which was John, he said to her, 'Woman, here is your son.' And to the disciple, 'Here is your mother.' From that time on, the disciple took her into his home. Here's the thing to consider, folks, today. There are seven things that Jesus said while he was on the cross. One of them had to deal with the importance of his mother being taken care of. I think that should speak to us. I believe that there's a mandate to us as well as we take a look at this special person. Now, I'm always sensitive to the fact that Mother's Day can be up to the worst day of the year for a lot of people. You might be here and you could never become a mother for some reasons, medical or what, otherwise. You've always wished to be a mother, and for some reason that has not been something that you were able to obtain. Or maybe your mother's not here. Maybe she's gone to be with the Lord. And so as you sit, you think of all the good times and your heart breaks as you sit here this morning. Or maybe something's to the point where you just had no mother, she died early, or the one that you had really wasn't much of one. Or maybe you're sitting here and there's tension in the family. And even though you are here and your child is not, because they're not talking to you, or she's not talking to you, or whatever the case may be, it can be a very hurtful time. Or maybe you are a mom. Your kids are in West Virginia. They're in places far, far away. And all you have to settle with is a phone call or a Skype message or whatever. And so for those of you who are here, my heart goes out for you. So what I want to do is I just want to have a quick prayer. And I have some videos. I hope you don't mind. I wanted to put something to kind of add to it. And what I wanted to do is I wanted to have some fun. And I wanted to keep it light. And I wanted to be truthful. And I wanted to be encouraging. And I wanted it to be biblical. And I wanted it to be challenging. But I wanted to give you seven ways to treat your mother. So God, I just pray for every mom here. Lord, whatever they're going through, Father, good or bad, Lord, you are Lord of their lives. And so, God, I pray, Father, that you'll do something special in all of our hearts, Father. And that will only happen, God, is if Holy Spirit, you work in their lives. So, God, I pray that you do that in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to show one video, which is a lot like the one that they had made up, but I'll show it anyways, okay? Let's start with a very special mommy.
What makes your mom happy?
Flowers, when I listen.
Want to be good or something?
I don't know. That's too tight.
What makes your mom sad?
When I don't listen. Like when we get hurt.
What's something that your mom does every day?
Read the Bible, cleans the house,
and I think work.
Kisses me.
What's something your mom always says to you?
I love you. Brush my teeth.
Go clean your room.
Behave. Don't let the dog upstairs.
Do not bother mom while she's sleeping.
How old is your mom?
I think 5.
12. That's a very, very tricky question.
I know she's a half and something.
70. What's your mom's favorite thing to do?
Play with me.
Sit in that chair.
Date night.
Shop.
Shopping.
Go shopping.
She's just shopping every day. She always wants to go shopping.
Me and I get tired. Then that's kind of boring.
Where's your mom's favorite place to go?
Chinese restaurant.
An animal shelter.
I think it's to the mall.
Go to the restroom.
How are you and your mom the same?
Our hair.
Our eyes.
We have the same thumbs.
We're really flexible.
We both have long tongues, but my sister and my dad don't really.
How are you and your mom different?
Our eyes are different.
The color of me. I'm brown and she's tan.
Mom has curly hair and I have straight hair.
I do have better abs.
What's your favorite thing about your mom?
That she doesn't like to be away from us.
When she gets down the floor and plays with me.
She's a really good teacher.
I like her face.
Her smile.
When she lets me put on her makeup.
That I can cuddle with her at night.
She is really special.
She's really, 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 really nice.
How do you know that your mom loves you?
She prays and she kisses me and she says, I love you.
Because she's in my family.
How she takes care of us.
By making breakfast.
Do my laundry.
That she helps me get dressed.
Takes me to all the things I do after school.
That she plays games with me.
Play soccer with me.
Play bubbles.
When I sit in her lap.
We watch movies.
We get our nails painted.
Make a scrapbook.
Fish.
Outside cookouts and bonfires.
She spends time with us and not all by herself.
She's patient with us.
She does everything with me.
Because she says it every day.
Kisses me every night.
And all kinds of stuff.
I just know that she loves me because she says, I'll always love you.
She's awesome.
She loves me no matter what. Like God.
I love you, Mommy. Happy Mother's Day.
So, how do I love my mother? How do you love your mother? I think, first of all, you love your mother verbally. What do you mean by that? Well, how about you actually tell her? That's a good thing. When was the last time you verbally told your mother that you loved her? And why is this such a hard thing to do sometimes? And why is this somehow awkward? Or maybe you've gotten out of the habit. I'm not too sure. Maybe you are afraid that you will give her a heart attack. I'm not too sure. Our family was not one which threw out the compliments and the I love yous too much. And I do remember one time I told my mother that I loved her. And she, I thought one of two things. She either thought that I was dying or I was drunk. Funny how that can be. You could say that there's nowhere in the Bible where it says I have to tell my mom that I love her. It's not really a biblical thing that they tell me to do. But it does tell you time and time again that you need to say things of encouragement. You need to encourage her. And plus, it's Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15 that says this, but speak the truth in love. Remember that passage of Scripture? That's the kind of Scripture that they always use to say, well, if you're going to tell somebody off, just kind of make sure that you say that you love them first. That kind of justifies the scolding. But that's not really totally where that passage of Scripture is for. That if it is the truth and you do love them, then it's something that you need to say. There's something about actually hearing the word, something affirming, something securing, something life-giving. And the truth is, there are no guarantees for tomorrow. Now, for those of you who are younger, there used to be this thing that came to people's houses. It was called a newspaper. And it used to have an advice column in it. And there was one particular popular one, which is called Dear Abby. And there was an article that was wrote there a number of years ago. It was called Missing Mary in Colorado. This is what it says. I enlisted shortly after Pearl Harbor. 36 days later, I was on my way to the Philippines. En route, the Philippines fell to the Japanese, and we were routed to Australia. 11 days after we landed, I met the most beautiful girl in the world. On our first date, I told her I was going to marry her, and I did. 18 months later, while on a 10-day R&R leave from New Guinea, after more than 57 years of marriage, the two children, my beloved Mary, died 5 days before Christmas. Although we agreed that our ashes would be scattered over mountains, I found I could not part with hers. While Mary was alive, I would frequently say, she would frequently say, you don't know how much I love you. I'd reply, likewise. I never said I love you. Now her ashes are on my dresser and I tell her several times a day how much I love her. But it's too late. Although I wrote poetry to her, I could not bring myself to say the three words I knew she wanted most to hear. As my dearest was dying and we thought she was in a comatose state, I told her, there aren't enough words to tell you how much I love you. A few hours later, she whispered, not enough words, and died. The reason I'm writing this is to urge men to express their feelings while their loved ones are still alive. I don't know why, but men find it difficult and reluctant to express the deep thoughts of their hearts and their feelings. Missing Mary in Colorado. Love her verbally. Love her affectionately. Well, what does that mean? Well, give her a kiss and a hug every once in a while, can't you? You big lug. Consider the fact that she was the first one to touch you. Consider the fact that she carried you for 9 months. You came into this world and the first priority in her life was to hold you, and she cuddled you and she stroked your hair and she rubbed your head and she rubbed your feet and she held her cheek up against yours and allowed you to wrap your finger around her little pinky. And in love she did all these things, and as the years passed she changed your diaper and she held the Kleenex to your nose and she cleaned your food and your face longer than she probably had to, and she held your hand walking you to school and kissed you goodnight. She gave you a reassuring hug. You know what Psalm chapter 131 verse 2 says? He says, "But I have calmed and quieted myself. I am like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child, I am content." Science has proven, as it studied a number of orphanages, how important it is to touch and to hold. And they have found that those who have grown up in orphanages have suffered because of the fact that there has been no one to hold them. And that's why they have a lot of people who will go into orphanages just to hold babies. There's been people who've gone on mission trip, and the whole mission trip was this: holding a baby. I want to go on that mission trip, right? A lot of ladies will probably say they're available to do. But anyways, it is true. Do you think that that stops at all? You know, this is why she gets a day.
Hey, buddy. What you got there? Is that a Mother's Day card?
Yep.
Mind if I hop over?
Yep.
Mother's Day, crazy, isn't it?
Yep.
Gotta get her flowers.
Yep.
Gotta get her candy. Mothers love candy. And you gotta call her. Heaven forbid you don't call your mother, you know? I mean, what does the Bible say? No fury like a mother scorned?
Yeah.
Anywho, I just don't get what the big deal is. I mean, why a whole day? You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's not like the Christopher Columbus or Al Roker. Can you name me one mother that discovered America or invented weather? Huh? You can't, can you? Because there is no mother that did that, okay? That's all I'm saying. What is the big deal? Why don't I have a day, okay? I just look at what the big dealio is, that's all.
What's the dealio?
Yeah.
Because she took care of you. She blew your nose, she wiped your bottom, she kissed your boo-boos, and every time you looked at her and said, "Hey, Mom, watch this, watch what I can do, look at me," she looked every time, no matter what goofy thing you were doing, and you know you did some goofy things. Why does she get a day? Because she gave birth to you. And through all the pain and the tears, she still loved you. She loved you. You're unlovable. That's why she gets a day.
You're right. You are so right. You're right. I need to call my mom. Can you give me a minute?
Get out. Get out.
Okay.
You love her verbally. You love her affectionately. You love her respectfully. I believe that God has put something into the human heart to honor those who have gone before us. I think that there is something spiritual about this. I think that there's something that you gather as a result of honoring your mother. And that's why Exodus says that one of the Ten Commandments is to honor your father and mother so that it may go well with you and you may live long in the land that your Lord has given you. It is the only one of the Ten Commandments that includes a built-in blessing. That God honors you when you honor your parents. And so here it is. The stipulation, there's no stipulation that your mother has been honorable to you. There's nothing that says, well, you know, honor your mother if she has treated you well or if she has honored you. What the Bible tells us to do is to honor her anyways and let God take care of anything that it goes in. Let him take care of the details. So what does it mean to honor your mother?
Well, it's to put them in a high place. It is to revere them. It is to kind of give, hold them in high regard. To come to the understanding that God has specifically placed them to care for you. Have you ever considered that? That she is the one that God has chosen to bring life to you. That there's a spiritual aspect to this, and it deserves this thing that we call respect. To love her with respect. To love her patiently. Okay, now we're getting into the deep stuff here. When Paul talks about 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter, and he begins to describe love, the first thing he says is this: love is patient. And that kind of hurts right away, because I know for a fact that I am not a patient person. And the truth of the matter is, a lot of you who are in that exact same category. But patience is something which becomes necessary when you are in a family unit. It is something that it is particularly useful and something which is apparent that needs to happen as your parents begin to get older. And they're not able to function as they used to, and their health begins to fail, and their hearing and their sight begin to falter, and the activities that they used to have, they no longer have, and the memory is not there, and the stories get repeated. And this comes with a huge amount of anxiety and a huge amount of frustration to both the son and daughter and the mother and the father. And trying to keep up with technology. How do I do this? And questions that you think are easy are not so easy for them anymore. And many times one of the spouses will die before the other spouse. And all I'm saying is that life can become pretty cruel to people who do not have loving and patient people in their corner. It's James 1 that says, let every man and woman be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Love her patiently. Love her unconditionally. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter, uses a word for love. And for those of us who are students of the word, you know that there are a number of different words that represent love. One is kind of a romantic type. Another is kind of like a brotherly love type. But the third one, which is known as agape, is the love that is a love in spite of. It's the same love that John uses in 1 John 4, 7 and 8. Beloved, let us love one another. He that loveth not knows not God. For God is love. It is that exact same one. And I ask myself often, why is it so hard to practice that love to those people who are the closest to us? Now, this may be a revelation to some of you here. So brace yourself. But if you look closely, you will find that your mother is not perfect. As a matter of fact, many of you may not have to look that close at all. You may have discovered a few idiosyncrasies that may bother you. She may be too controlling, too condemning, too cheap, too wasteful. She may say the wrong things at the wrong time. She may have the tendency to embarrass you in front of your friends. She may bother you, badger you, or belittle you. But God has called you to love her anyways. Here's the other thing. She loves you unconditionally. A number of years ago, there was a documentary, and what they did is they began to interview people on death row. And they began to interview the mothers of these people who were on death row. And for the most part, every single mother, or most mothers, when interviewed, had this to say: he really is a nice person. Yeah, but he killed 34 people with an axe. Well, but he has a good heart. Like, when you begin to wonder what's going on, the point is that your mother will love you unconditionally, no matter what you have done, no matter what you have gone through, whatever trouble you're facing now, you will always, in most cases anyways, have a mother who will love you. And you see, the moment you begin to unconditionally love your mother is the moment you become the most like Jesus. I believe that. I think that there is a direct parallel between motherhood and the gospel. We've done wrong. We have sinned. We have separated ourselves from God. Us as children, as kids, have kind of messed up a number of times. And we have a mother that will love us unconditionally, despite the fact that there is almost anything that you can do that will not prevent her from loving you. It is something which is the closest thing to the gospel that we see. She's the closest example of the gospel. And so those of you who have had the opportunity to live and grow up in a Christian home, here's the one thing. Your mother has seen it as a calling to raise you. As a mother, one of your highest callings is to raise your kids, is to raise them up in a Christian home, to do the best you can to bring your children to heaven with you. And that calls us to unconditionally love them back. To love her generously. What does it mean to love generously? Well, here's the thing. You can actually give to people without being generous. True generosity comes with a heart that actually wants to give. Not out of obligation, not out of duty, not out of guilt. It's the kind of love that doesn't keep records. It doesn't sit there and say, I've done this, now you pay me back. It is to be generous with your time. It is to be generous with your abilities. It is to be generous with our possessions. It is to be generous with our listening. It is to be generous with our involvement. You know what I would equate generosity to? It's that part in the Bible where Jesus says, if you give a cup of cold water in my name, it'll be done. It'll be done as in heaven. You'll be rewarded for something like that. It says in Proverbs, if I have the passage here, I think I do. Proverbs 11:25 says, a generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. Am I a cup of cold water for my mother? Is that six? Did I get all six down? Oh, yes, there is seven. It's this, to love her gratefully for all that she has done. There was a story that had come across. I had read it recently. I thought it was funny. It talked about a elementary school science teacher. And this particular year in science, I think it was grade 5 or something like that, they were studying the effects of magnetism. They're talking about magnets, and they did a bunch of experiments with magnets. And in one of the classes, she said, well, this has a charge, and it will pick up other metal. And so what happens was during the class, she sat there and took other steel things, and she was able to pick up all these things with the magnet. So to make it easy, she has this on the exam. Okay, starts with the letter M and is 6 letters, picks things up. What am I? Half the class put in mother. It would be impossible to pay your mother back for all the meals, all the trips, all the sleepless nights, all the rocking to sleep, all the homework exams. Truth is, we owe her big time. Unfortunately, too often the relationship between us and mom still remains a one-way road. Sorry. Well, let me challenge you with this thought. Could I? It says this. If you treated your friends like you treated your mother, would they still be your friends? Let me tell you that again. Let's say it again. If you treated your friends like you treated your mother, would they still be your friends? I'm so grateful to my mom because I grew up in a home of an alcoholic, and most of the money went to gambling and to alcoholism and to feed whatever addictions that were in the house, and my mom kept the home together. Had 2 brothers. She worked as well as did the job of a mother. And I can't help but think, as I look back, if it wasn't for my mom, where my life would be. And so you who are here, who are mothers, you have a great job. You have a challenging job. But you have something which I think God gives to you. One more video if I could. It's called Mighty.
There are those who say that this is ordinary, but don't let that fool you. Mother will always be the bravest, least ordinary, most difficult, utterly challenging career that anyone ever hopes to lay claim to. While others might hear, diaper changer, food maker, laundry doer, carpooler, bottle washer, sweatpants wear, life on hold, want to be doing anything else, woman. The truth is, whether it feels like it some days or not, you are in fact a shelter from the storm. You are a cape of good hope. You are a warrior who will do battle for your children's hearts, souls, attention, innocence, education, and memories. Go to battle, my friends. This is your time. We will hold strong on either side of you. We will pray for those bottles through the dark watches of the night. And when doubt comes and children break, when adults fail them, and when they push and push as hard against us as the day we deliver them into this world, we will not be broken. We may ache and see cracks tear through our hearts, but we will get up again tomorrow, and we will load the clothes and the words that need to be said again and again and again. And when the world tries to claw at them, to break them, to smash the beauty in them, may our walls hold true. May the lessons we've told, the truths we've lived, the life we've spoken into them come back easily, predictably, with wash and repeat ease. Kingdom business, Jesus work, this shaping of souls, this raising tiny humans. There are those that say this is ordinary. Don't buy it for a second. Mighty. You are mighty because you, Mother.
Thanks, Mom. Thanks for all the times you stuck with me. From those who are in the congregation, perhaps haven't said it yet. I'm sure that a number of you have heard dozens and dozens of Mother's Day sermons and may not even remember any of them as you look back. And I'm not so arrogant, I'm not so big-headed to think that you will remember mine. But if you could remember this thing, I will feel that I have accomplished something, okay? About 8 years ago, I was pastoring in the Sudbury area. And I'm always trying to, just have some things, put something into the sermon that will kind of cause us to think, to stir us, to make a point. And I came across this particular article. And it basically said this: the best days of your life are the times when you have both your children and your parents alive. And they said, you should cherish those times. Those, you'll never have times like that again. And so don't let one moment, don't let 1 year go by when you don't realize how wonderful that was. And I think at that time I was about 45 years old, and my kids were young adults, or they were youth, and it was just a wonderful time. And I thought, this is great. I think this is a real appropriate statement to end my sermon with. And we finished the sermon. Actually, I don't know if I can remember any other part of that sermon. But early June, I was going to a Sunday, so this is less than a month from that particular sermon, that particular date. I was driving to a Sunday evening event from a church, a multi-church event, got a phone call. It said, your mom had a heart attack. They can't resuscitate her. They are driving her 1 hour to a city which specializes in heart treatments. You need to come home as soon as you possibly can. And it was a four-hour drive, I believe, from Sudbury to that particular city to go and talk. And 3 days later, she passed away. Never recovered, never came to consciousness or anything like that. And I realized that statement, somehow, I wasn't, maybe it was the fact that I was debating on actually putting it into the sermon. But little did I realize how important that statement would be to me. So the thing I have, the one thing I can share to you, for those of you who are here, and you have the luxury of having your parents alive and having your kids with you at the same time, cherish that. Don't let a moment go by where you don't take the opportunity to express your love for your mom, because I believe it's a spiritual thing. I believe that there's a spiritual attachment to it that allows God to be pleased when we follow him in that way. Can we stand at this time? What I want to do as we close off our service, I'm going to pray a prayer of blessing upon all of our mothers who are here today. And I'm going to pray just an encouragement upon all of our children who are here today. And I'm going to pray for the presence of God to be with this day, for whoever you are, whatever you're going through. And then we're just going to close the song. I'm going to hand it to Neil, and he's just going to close in song. There's lots of time. You don't have to go and get your kids right away. They are still going on with their service for a time. I want that to be something that you understand is important for us as a church. We want you to have the fellowship. We want you to be able to be part of the family here. Dear Heavenly Father, I just pray in Jesus' name upon each and every individual who is here today. I pray, Father, for those mothers who are here who are saddened and, Lord, are dealing with difficult issues, or our children who miss their mothers every day, and that, Lord, they still live through the legacy of our memories, God, and God, you're just moving in our lives. I pray, God, that your blessing will be upon our mothers. I pray, Father, that your blessings will be upon them. And Lord, we will honor them the way they need to be honored. And we will honor them the way you desire us to honor them, O God. I pray that blessing upon them. I pray that it will be a great day for them. I pray, Father, that you'll move in every circumstance, Father, whether it's a joyous time, Father, or whether it's a time where you are ministering to our hearts, God, I pray that you move. And Lord, I pray, Father, for each and every child, whether we are still a child at 50 years old or whether we are just in our younger years, whatever the case may be, I just pray, God, that you'll just give us the courage to love our parents the way you are desiring us to love them. I pray, Father, for the presence of God to be in that. I pray, Father, Holy Spirit, that you will move and begin to bless, Lord, in a way that perhaps we don't even understand at this particular time. But Lord, let your blessing flow. As we sing this last song in dismissal, Lord, I pray for the Spirit of God to be poured out upon all of us, upon all of our hearts, Lord. And as we have fellowship afterwards, God, I pray that you'll be honored and you'll be glorified and lifted up as we honor our mothers on this special day. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen. Neil. Thank you for taking the time to listen. Let's continue the conversation online. Visit us at bethelbrandon.ca or follow us on Facebook. Thank you.